Before we begin, I must state that what we are presenting here is nothing more than a fable. A fable is just one way to let your imagination run away with you. Now. So, figuratively speaking, just imagine you were this poor young prince right here in the middle of somewhere, and that you longed for a new experience. When you were young, everything was always new. New toys, new games, new sports, riding and hunting and such. But now everything was old. Hunting was old. The castle was old. Even his friends were getting old. So he went to the court jester and commanded him, "Make me laugh." The court jester just performed the same old tricks and the same old jokes. Thought the prince. How could so much nothing be right here in the middle of somewhere? So the prince decided that perhaps he had not looked far enough. He must try harder. He next went to the court scholar and commanded him to teach him something new. The scholar began to teach him history. But the prince complained that history was just old now. The scholar began to teach him advanced mathematics, but the prince complained it was just a new way of doing old things. The court scholar became concerned, as scholars should. He told the king that it wasn't right for someone not to want to learn old things, to do old things. The scholar exclaimed, "If everybody was always doing new things, we'd have chaos. No one would know what to expect from anybody. We would all be in a constant state of surprise, and thus two things would surely happen. First, we would all be worn out from the excitement of it all, and the neighbouring kingdom would launch a surprise attack that we wouldn't expect, because we were so used to surprise, we wouldn't plan for it. It's happened many times before in history. Believe me, it's nothing new. And second, if we were always surprised, we would get so used to it that we wouldn't notice it anyway." "So," declared the scholar, "the boy has a problem beyond my help. The court physician will surely have to be called in." At all this fuss, the prince was somewhat confused. On the one hand, he felt bad about the concerned face of the king and all the disappointed faces of the elders of the court, as they muttered, "What can we do? What a terrible thing to happen to the king. He was so proud. How will his mother take it?" On the other hand, all this was something new. The court physician was called at once. He checked the prince's tongue and eyes, his nose and ears. In fact, he searched from toe to head, but he could not find one thing wrong with the prince. So he concluded, "The trouble must be on the inside, so we will have to put something on the inside to fix it." So numerous potions and teas and mixtures were given to the prince, but he would only triumphantly exclaim that since he had a new problem, old potions and formulas would not affect it. The prince would then roar with laughter and delight at the newness of it all. This concerned the court physician more than ever. He would raise an eyebrow and say to the king, "His symptoms are getting worse." The king was so worried he didn't know what to do or where to turn. So he convened the whole court and offered a great reward for anyone who could cure his son, the prince. He also secretly convened the captain of the guards and all his generals and told them to beware, that this might be a plot to overthrow the kingdom, and there could be no telling how long before other people in the kingdom might want something new. Suddenly spies were everywhere, watching and listening, trying to discover who gave the prince this problem in the first place. All the physicians in the land worked day and night to cure the prince. But the problem was not so dried and cut. The prince, meanwhile, was becoming very nervous. He now knew that he had a problem that no one could solve. He became scared and worried and would whimper for hours, wishing this terrible thing had not befallen him. Why not somebody else? Why me? The court physician only raised his eyebrow high and said to the king, "His symptoms are getting worse." They bled him and prayed for him, but all were at a loss. Finally, in desperation, the king yelled to all his wise servants of the court, "If you cannot think of anything else to help my son, I shall cut off all your heads." The scholars, physicians, and the advisers of the court were very afraid. So they finally went to the king, and solemnly they said, "There is only one more thing we can think of for the king to do to help his son." "What is it?" demanded the king. "Get the sorcerer who roams the deserts to the south." The king proclaimed, "Bring this man to me." "We cannot," answered the wise men of the court. "The king must request him to come. No man or warrior can subdue him. He is a mesmerizer and can put spells upon any number of men. This is why we did not tell you about him before. He is dangerous and might put a spell on the king or the prince." The king looked back at his advisers with a furrowed brow. He said, "I am old, and no one else can help my son. I must then meet this sorcerer and take my chances with one who casts spells." The request was sent to the sorcerer. The king waited the whole first day, the whole second day, the whole third day, the whole fourth day, the whole fifth day, the whole sixth day, the whole seventh day, the whole eighth day, the whole ninth day. And on the tenth day, he grew so impatient that he called the court together and demanded an explanation. The wise men decided the king would have to tempt the sorcerer with gold and riches. An offer was sent, and 10 more days passed, while the king continued to worry, and the prince sank deeper and deeper into gloom. And so the king sent another offer to the sorcerer. He said he would give to the sorcerer anything within his power if he could cure his son. And so at last, the sorcerer came to the palace. When he came to the prince was very surprised because he expected the sorcerer to be dressed in robes of black with a pointed hat with stars on it. The sorcerer was not dressed this way at all. He wore robes of royal purple and had no hat at all. His hair was white as snow and avalanched down his back and shoulders, and through his bushy eyebrows gleamed two bright lights. The prince could not detect their colour. They seemed to change from brown to blue, then to hazel, then to brown. The king begged the sorcerer, "Please cure my son." The sorcerer smiled a queer smile, and slowly he began to speak. "My dear king, I do not have to cure your son, because your son, the prince, has no problem at all. In fact, there is no prince at all, and all this is just part of a dream someone is having somewhere who does not know he is really dreaming, and the problem in a dream is no real problem at all." All the court agreed that this made good sense, and the king sighed with relief. However, the prince became worried, because if the dreaming is going on somewhere, then here isn't somewhere, and so here must be nowhere. And for a moment the prince became confused about whether he was really in somewhere or nowhere, or in fact whether he was anywhere at all. In this process, he even forgot that he was a prince, and the world began to spin. or was it the dream that was spinning? He couldn't quite figure out which. In all the spinning, he must have fallen asleep or woken up. He wasn't quite sure. But he was sure that he was not in the king's castle. In fact, he was pretty sure he was not in any of the king's lands, because he had never seen this place before. At least he was as sure as anyone can be of anything in such circumstances. And he asked himself, I wonder where I am. In fact, I wonder if I'm awake or asleep. With this, he decided he would explore and put off such an important decision until later. And so he stopped worrying about where he was and who he was and began to explore to find out what could be found out. And he found this a strange place indeed.